We have been discussing the passing away of Bhishma Dev. His prayers have not yet started, but his instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj have started. That's what we have been discussing. So, when Yudhishthira Maharaj approaches Bhishma Dev, he says, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam, dharmanandana, jivitum narhata krishtam, klishtam, vipra dharma achutashraya. You should not be lamenting. In fact, just think about what all you have undergone, what all miseries you have undergone. If only you had not taken shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta, you should have been long dead. This conversation between the two of us would not be happening. So only because of their shelter you are still alive. Otherwise, because of the atrocities of your opponents, you should have died long time back. Samstite Adirate Pandav Prita Bala Praja Vadu Yushmat Krite Bahun Kleshan Prapta Tokavati Mahuhu. And because of giving birth to you Pandavas, your mother suffered so much. She lost her chivalrous husband quite early. And she had to undergo so much suffering because your cousins were envious of you. So because of you, she had to undergo so much suffering. What about that? Don't you think you should do something to mitigate it? It's reasonable. So then the question arises, then why did we suffer so much in our lives? Bhishma Dev says, Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam chedapriyam sapale yadvashe loko vayorivaganavali. Understand, my dear Yudhishthir, that everything happened because of time. Time? Time means karma, because time carries one's karma. So why do you say that everything happened because of time? Why don't you just say that everything happened because of your own bad karma? Because of your own misdeeds, your suffering. Why are you sugarcoating it and telling that everything happened because of time? That's a very superficial way of looking at it. It's just passing on the blame to someone else. So, how can you say that it is because of time? So then, Bhishma Dev says, Yatra dharma suto raja gadapanir vrikodara krishna astri gandivam japam surut krishna stato vipad. My dear Yudhishthir Maharaj, when unfavorable circumstances are arising, despite not having a reasonable cause, how can the son of Dharmaraj commit an adharmic activity? How can those people who are guided by Krishna commit any adharmic activity? How can those people who have dasya, sakya and vatsalyas towards Krishna, how can they have suffering caused due to karma? So therefore, yes, it is happening due to time. Time is carrying your suffering. But the cause of that suffering seems like karma, but it is not karma. Nahi asya karhichit rajan puman veda viditsitam yad vijigyasaya yutya muyyanti kavayopihi. Did we see this verse? We saw this verse yesterday, right? Was this the last verse that we saw?
Yeah.
So, he says that actually no one can understand the plan of the Lord. And by inquiry, you cannot understand why Krishna, what does Krishna want me to, how is Krishna planning to bring me closer to his lotus feet by putting me through this particular situation? One cannot understand the plan of the Lord. One can accept it as the plan of the Lord. We should be sure that it is plan of the Lord, that what exactly is it, how is it going to unfold? No one knows. Even the pure devotee does not know how it's going to unfold. So, you cannot say, does he want to give us suffering? Or does he not want to give us suffering? Does he want to give us only happiness? Or does he want to sometime give us happiness, sometime want to give us suffering? So, he analyzes. Does he want to give us suffering? If yes, then how is he Bhaktavatsal? Does he want to give us only happiness? It cannot be, because we have never experienced happiness in our lives so much. Does he want to sometime give us happiness, sometime give us suffering? Still, then how would his all benevolent nature be understood if he sometimes wants us to suffer? So therefore, the conclusion is that we cannot really understand the plan of the Lord. Muhyanti kavayopihi. Even the most intelligent people are bewildered trying to understand the plan of the Lord. No one can understand the plan. It's one of the things which are achintya to living entities, whether they are perfected or sadhakas or conditioned souls. Like that. This is where we ended yesterday, right? So, then let's continue today's discussion. Tasmadidam daiva tantram vyavasya bharta rishabha tasyana vihito nata nata pahi praja prabho. O nata, O master, O prabho, O controller, O bharta rishabha, O best amongst the bharata lineage. Tasmad, therefore, vyavasya, understand, idam daivatantram, that this suffering and happiness is dependent only on Krishna. Krishna is directly giving you this happiness and suffering. Tasya anuvihito, follow him. Anata praja pahi, and protect the helpless citizens. Just don't keep sitting here and lamenting. Accept this as the plan of the Lord. How it's going to unfold, don't just get into researching that. You will never be successful. Just follow the plan. Accept that. Accept this as a plan of the Lord and be happy that the plan of the Lord is getting executed through you. Nimitta Matram Bhava, Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj is Savyasachi or not, I don't know. So Savyasachi means one who is ambidextrous, who can use both hands. You are ambidextrous, Harshad Prabhu? Are you? Huh? Left handed. But you eat with your right hand only, no? Huh? Ambidextrous. We eat with our right hand, right with our right hand only. So, you can do aarti with your right hand? See, you can't. So, I think within the Vedic fold, if you are left-handed, you are forced to become ambidextrous because a lot of things you have to do with your right hand only. So, so basically what he is telling is, a devotee should be happy that the will of the Lord is getting fulfilled. So don't sit here and lament. Pahi prajaha, anata praja pahi. Please protect the helpless citizens. Don't just sit here and lament. That is the point that he is indicating to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, discern that this happiness and suffering is dependent on the Lord, but understand that the purpose of giving happiness and distress to his devotee is not easily understood. since it has already been said that his plan is hard to comprehend. The overall plan is understood. The overall plan is to somehow bring the devotee close to his lotus feet. How, by what means, how exactly it's going to happen, those details no one can understand. Having discerned this, follow Krishna, tasya anuvihitah, and protect the citizens who are without a guide, anatha, anatha prajapahi. Go and protect the anatha prajas and lead them to Krishna. That's your job. That's what here Bhishma Dev is indicating to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, why does Krishna put the devotees into difficulties? Prabhupada says, this is just like a mother chastising her daughter to teach the daughter-in-law. Similarly, a devotee has nothing to learn as Krishna guides a pure devotee from within. Only the less intelligent people need to learn. For example, Bhagavad Gita was not meant for Arjuna, but it was meant for others. So just to teach others, Krishna sometimes put the pure devotees into such kind of, situations. Because the pure devotees are most malleable to the desire of Krishna. So what should a devotee learn from this? A devotee should learn to accept tribulations ungrudgingly as benediction. So he should accept. So if there is an affectionate relationship that is established between the father and the child, based on trust, unflinching trust, then even when the father gives a bitter medicine, the child accepts. Because of, it may not like it. Just because he has full trust and faith in the father does not mean that the medicine is going to taste sweet. It will taste bitter only. But because he has that trust in his father's benevolence, he takes it without any grudge towards the father. He is not cursing his father. So that way, we should also accept. And yesterday we saw this principle that it may not be natural for us. We don't have to wait till it naturally comes. It will never naturally come unless we cultivate it. This is a standard principle that Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday also we saw. So, certain things have to be cultivated. Like Prabhupada said, you bow down and you will get the feeling. Similarly, we should start accepting by default that yes, I have taken up the practice of devotional service. This situation that Krishna has put me into, Krishna wants me to go through this, and it is specially and personally designed by Krishna to bring me closer to his lotus feet. Accept it by default. If we do that over a period of time, we will be able to see that yes, because 1, 2, 3, 4 event after event, of course in retrospect we will understand, yes, Krishna has orchestrated it. But 3, 4 events, 5 events, 6 events, if we train ourselves to accept Krishna's hands and in later in retrospect actually see how Krishna has orchestrated it, then we will get implicit faith. 6th event. It's a very grave difficulty. I know Krishna is doing something to bring me close. That gives us a sense of feeling of safety and, Yes, Krishna is looking over. Like that. A pure devotee accepts tribulations as favors from the Lord. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no mundane difference between the two. The Lord is absolute, so he can bring a devotee closer by giving him a favor or a tribulation. Doesn't matter really. Of course, you know, I am saying this hoping that Krishna doesn't stretch me and test me to the, you know, I haven't developed that faith. But at least, one thing I have experienced is that when I speak something in front of public, that gives me some strength to follow it. At least try it out. Because when there are a group of Vaishnavas sitting there, and at least some of them get benefited by your speaking, then those favorable feelings of the Vaishnavas actually empowers, I have felt. When you know that you yourself are struggling to apply certain things, so then when you speak about it in an assembly of Vaishnavas and someone feels inspired, so and they are inspired to follow it, their well wishes, their good wishes empowers and gives you strength to follow. So therefore, I know it's difficult, especially when tribulations come, to see it as favor of Krishna. But at least, I have spoken about it yesterday, I have spoken about it today. When it comes, I will feel at least somewhat empowered, you know, I am hoping that when Krishna puts me in such a situation, then some empowerment will come. Because, you know, I may not be perfectly following it, but at least whatever this Shastras say, we have to present, isn't it? We can't tweak it just because we are not able to perfectly follow it. It's difficult, you know. When reversals come, to see it as Krishna's mercy. But I know that certain things you need to practice. Abhyasena ta kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Like that. Abhyasa vairagya means favorable thing you have to practice, unfavorable thing you have to keep it away, keep it away, keep it away. These two things, anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. When you keep practicing, then one becomes qualified to gain realizations actually. Then one becomes qualified for realizations. Otherwise, what can one realize actually? It's not possible. That's why in the third canto, Satam Prasangat Mamavirya Samvido verse, in that verse, in the commentary, Vishnu Chagadragur says that realization actually comes at the stage of Nishta only. Because only at the stage of Nishta, there is some steady practice of something to actually transform into realization. If something is not steadily practiced, how can it lead to realization? It's like, let's say someone is going to the bus stop, and on one particular day the bus comes at 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So can he say that every day the bus will come at 7 o'clock? No. It could have been on that particular day, maybe it was half an hour late. Or maybe on that particular day it was 5 minutes early than regular time. You never know. But steadily, if you keep on going for 10 days regularly, so then after 10 days of regularly going, then you can say that generally it comes at this time, but sometimes it may come 5 minutes early, sometimes it could come as much as half an hour late. If you go for 20 days, you would be able to give a much more accurate data. 30 days, still more. So, Vishnu Jagadakur says, real realization means at the stage of Nishta, not before that actually. Because before Nishta, when the practice is sporadic, it cannot give steady realization. Only if the practice is steady, one can get realization also that is steady. So, he says, Nishta, at the stage of Nishta, one gets realization. Satam prasangat mama virya samvido, he says. Mama virya samvido means one can realize the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Samyak vidho. Completely understand or realize the pastime at the stage of Nishta. So he says that indicates the stage of Nishta. Like that. Okay. Yes, Harshad Prabhu.
Then that test comes, obviously that test comes, and then like it becomes very much difficult to follow.
I know that.
So in such cases, like then it becomes a challenge. Oh, I should speak this in assembly of devotees, or should I refrain from speaking? Because speaking, I know that test will come, and in which way it comes. After some days, we understand when we are in that difficulty. We understand after some days, oh, I did this mistake.
Correct. So, correct. So, what should be the mode in speaking? That's very important. So, if you are speaking to belittle others, mock others, then Krishna will put us in such a situation that we also fail. But if we speak may not be good for the okay. I don't think we need that light also, do we? No need, na? I switched off. But if we speak with the understanding that I need all of my fellow devotees to progress, and my progress depends on the progress of my fellow devotees also. So, if they practice this principle nicely, then I will get more strength to practice the same principle nicely from inspiration. So, if I am not able to follow, let me at least inspire others, and from them I will take inspiration to follow. So, if that is the mode, then one gets empowered. But if one thinks that I am able to follow, so I will, if that sense of pride is there, Krishna will test. But if you feel genuinely responsible for the spiritual progress of your fellow devotees, perfectly understanding that, you know, my progress very much depends on their progress also, then it empowers that way. And if you fail also, it's okay. You pray to Krishna, thank Krishna, get up and move forward. That's the point. Okay, let's move ahead. Yes, Mataji.
Now, maybe Vishnu is saying that God was the plan of the Lord.
Yeah.
Then how much, like, but still, many times we go to the Sarvakaram Pitamaha. How much to give weightage to that sentence and to which sentence? Is it applied only for non-devotees?
No, Sarvam Kalakritam Manya is true for everyone. But what is that time carrying for you? Depends on who you are. Is the time carrying your karma? Or is the time carrying the will of the Lord? Indirectly, karma is also will of the Lord only, but it's indirect. But directly, will of the Lord means, you know, is personally orchestrating it for you. That's it. Yeah, yeah. yeah, when someone becomes very advanced, then he actually sees that when he gets a suffering or happiness, he sees, oh, this indicates that my karma is not gone yet. Even though it's siddhantically wrong statement. Okay. For a pure devotee, it's not karma, it's will of the Lord that comes. So therefore, when Bhishma Dev says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, so this is the interesting dynamics. And one who understands the nature of pure devotees will not be bewildered by it. When he sees another devotee suffering, he says, oh, this is how Krishna wants you to, this is not your karma. This is Krishna's desire to bring you closer to his feet. But when he sees he himself undergoing suffering, he thinks, oh, I am suffering due to my karma. You see? This is identically wrong, isn't it? Both of us are practicing the same thing. Why should for him it be will of the Lord and for me it be karma? Because pure devotees, they naturally have that humility, mana shunyata, because of which they are inspired to think that way. Okay. So therefore, unless one understands the principles which control a devotee's behavior, then we will see lot of discrepancies in their statements. Some of their statements would be ashastric, you know, not shastric. So what to see in their statements, we will be confused. That is why the basic principles of Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are very much fundamental to understand the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you understand, you know, how a devotee acts? What is it that controls the behavior of a devotee? What are the principles which are controlling the behavior of a devotee? Then you will understand that which are the statements of the devotee should be taken to understand the Siddhanta, and which are the statements should be taken to understand the mood of the devotee. We will know. Like that. Okay. Sadhaka also, it's for sadhaka, it is will of the Lord, that's what we have to practice. That is okay. If you are not fully surrendered, see, lack of surrender could be of two reasons. Okay. Lack of surrender could be because the Shraddha itself is faulty. Okay. So, the Shraddha itself says that, okay, worship of the Lord is good enough, but I don't have to worship the Lord for no result. It seems foolish. One may think like that. So, that is a lack of surrender that is born out of his mixed Shraddha only. Okay. So, but in our cases, the lack of surrender is due to obstacles which are posed by our past impressions. Okay. So, in that case, we have to practice to take it as the will of the Lord. And that way our impressions would be wiped out. Yeah. We can't artificially say that, you know, it is happening due to my karma only. Because that's not, we are not, that feeling is not yet natural to us. At least we can understand the Siddhanta. Krishna is doing something to bring me closer to his feet. Something to wipe out my impurities. Let me try to align myself with the desire of the Lord. And undergo this difficult situation in an honorable way. That's how we should try to train ourselves like that.
Okay. Karma is also
Indirectly. But that is not direct. Krishna is not personally orchestrating. He has designed a system just like the government has designed the system of law. So that's like an indirect system. But the judge has his own personal life also, where he orchestrates, he facilitates the life of his son also. Both are facilitated by, you know, the judges involved in both. So, here on one side he makes a system and lets the system function without his personal intervention. Whereas on the other side, at every stage of his son's life he is personally involved. So, for one who is not a pure devotee, the system takes care. But for one who is a pure devotee, and that system is not so dynamic, it's a little static system. Whereas for a devotee, when the Lord is personally involved, it's a much more dynamic system. Depending on the response of the devotee, the Lord changes and gives a different test and different situation to bring us closer to Him, like that. Okay, let's move on. Eshavai Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Maya Yalokam Godas Charati Vishnishu. Eshavai Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Sakshat Adyo Narayana, the source of Lord Narayan, Krishna, Puman, the original Purusha, Mohayan Maya Lokam, who bewilders this whole universe with his Maya potency, Gudas Charati Vishnishu, he is secretly moving in the Yadava dynasty. That person whom you are thinking as your friend and Sarathi and all that, he is the Govindam Adi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj may say, but how can you say that it is all dependent on the Lord and that no one knows the plan of the Lord? The Lord is right there in front of you. Go and ask Krishna what's your plan. And He will tell you. Huh? So, Bhishma Dev in response to that he says, how can you not know His plan when you ask, when you can ask Him, you can ask Him. And He will tell you the plan. That's it. In reply, Bhishma Dev speaks this verse. He says, He bewilders us with His energy. Mohayan Maya. It could be Yoga Maya for the pure devotee, but Mahamaya for the non-devotee. Even if asked by Bhishma, the Lord will not speak, but instead will evade Him by answering, am I so intelligent? Bhishma, you are much more intelligent than me. You could pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, I could not pacify. What do I know that you don't know? Like that, he will speak sweet words and evade the question, and I will also say, yes, 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 and then, yes, what did I do? So, just because he is standing right in front of you does not mean that you can understand his plan. Even if he says something, he still bewilders everyone. Therefore, his plan is to be followed, but is not subject to inquiry. I want to perfectly understand, only then I will follow. That will never happen. These are things which will be understood only in retrospect. So by then the situation would have passed, the next situation is there in front of you. So that's the point. I don't know. Someone else has also asked the same question. I am not sure. I have not read the Mahabharata. I don't know. Okay. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes, the Vedic system is the Parampara system. Some say that it is dogmatic. Some say that the parampara system is dogmatic. You have to follow. There is no explanation given like that. But it is not. How is it not dogmatic? When you want to know who is your father, you have to accept your mother's authority. Therefore, it is not dogmatic. There are certain things you cannot understand by yourself. So, there is no other way to understand other than accepting authority. So, therefore, it's not dogmatic. So, then he says, modern men believe so many things that the scientists say, including moon landing, Prabhupada says. Modern man, how many modern men have personally experimented things and found out that yes, what these scientists are telling is right? None. Everyone is blindly accepting the scientists, including the moon landing. They accept one authority, but they reject the other authority. Therefore, people have degenerated. Because they blindly accept one authority and blindly reject the other authority. So, Prabhupada says, blind faith is also wrong. Blind acceptance is also wrong. So, you blindly blind faith is also wrong and blind rejection is also wrong. You are accepting one authority blindly based on faith, but you are rejecting another authority also blindly, because you say that, you know, nothing should be accepted based on faith. So this is not a very rational thinking. Now, Bhishma is a great authority and he says that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we have to accept. Now, when such a personality Krishna moves as a human being, it is certainly bewildering. He says there are two types of bewilderment. One is bewilderment by his Yogamaya and another is bewilderment by his Mahamaya. By his Yogamaya bewilderment, he expands into unlimited Narayanas and accepts loving devotional service from the Jivas in the spiritual world. And by his Mahamaya bewilderment, he takes birth in many forms as incarnations to re-establish their lost relationship with the Jivas. By Krishna's mercy, Bhishma Dev is beyond such a kind of bewilderment. Which means he is not bewildered by the Mahamaya potency, he comes under the Yogamaya potency, like that. Then he says, Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guhyatamam Shivaha Devarshir Naradas Sakshat Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sages of the heavens, Lord Kapila, Veda Asya Guhyatamam Anubhavam. You remember? We saw Sthai Bhav, Anubhav, Vibhav, Sattvika Bhav and Sanchari Bhav, right? We saw the other day, right? Meaning. Briefly, we saw the meanings, right? NOD we saw, briefly. Maybe not today, some other time we will see. Anubhavas are like Sthai Bhava is the basic relationship. Vatsalya, Sakya, Madhuri and so on. In one of the five rasas. That is basic Sthai Bhava. And Vibhav is that which supports the relationship. That which gets the rasa to flow. That which instigates the rasa to flow. That is Vibhav. Say for example, Vibhav is of two types. Alambana and Uddipan. Okay. And Alambana means shelter. There are two personalities who give shelter to a rasa. Who are those two personalities? Think about it. Who are those two personalities who give shelter to a relationship? The two persons who are involved in the relationship, right? Correct? So, Krishna and the devotee, they are the alambana. Krishna is the vishaya alambana, the object, the shelter, the object being the shelter, object of love. And the devotee is the ashraya alambana. He is the abode of love. He also gives shelter to the rasa. Both of them have to be there to support, to for a rasa to flow between the two of them. Right? So, vishaya alambana means, if the devotee is in, let's say, vatsalya rasa. Okay? He is, which alambana? Ashraya alambana. Then the Vishaya Alambana is Krishna in his Kaumara form. Krishna in his Kaumara form is inspiring to for Vatsalya Rasa. Okay. That is why even though Krishna stayed only 11 years in Vrindavan, but rest of the years with Devaki and Vasudev, still Vasudev and Devaki, still Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are considered to be fortunate. Is it reasonable? Krishna stayed for 125 years. So, for about 110, more than 110 years, he stayed with Vasudev and Devaki. And he stayed hardly 11 years with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Still, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are said to be more fortunate than Vasudev and Devaki. Why? Because that time at which the relationship really develops between the parent and the child, they couldn't stay, they couldn't spend with Krishna. So the Kaumara Avastha between 1 to 5 or 1 to 6 years, this is said to be Vatsalya Poshak. So therefore the Kaumara Avastha is the Ashraya Alambana for a Vatsalya Bhakta. Right? So, Kaumara Krishna is the Vishaya Alambana. If the Ashraya Alambana is Vatsalya Bhakta. If the Ashraya Alambana is Sridhama or Subal, then what is the Vishaya Alambana? Huh? Krishna in Pauganda. Pauganda Avastha. Okay? Somewhere between 6 to 10, 11, 12 like that. Okay? If the gopis are the Ashraya Alambana, then Krishna in his Kishore form is the Vishaya Alambana. Clear? So, the appropriate match of Vishaya and Ashraya has to be there for the rasa to flow. Clear? Na? So, this supports. Another thing that supports is things which are related to the Vishaya. Like, for Mother Yashoda, the sound of the ankle bells of Krishna when he is crawling, that acts as Uddipan. So, Alambana and Uddipan. Whereas for the gopis, it could be the sound of the flute late at night. That could be the Uddipan. Something related to Krishna. Or his footmarks. When they see his footmarks, that acts as an Uddipan. For the gopis. Similarly for the gopas, when they hear the buffalo horn, sound of the buffalo horn sounded by Krishna, that acts as the Uddipan. So there is Uddipan also there. But that Uddipan works, the Uddipan is very specific. Right? Like, I think I gave this example. You know, when I was in my boarding school, life used to be a little tough. Every day, you know, for some reason or other, you used to get beaten up and punishments and things like that. So sometimes you feel like, man, what is this? You know, if I would have been at home, you know, life would have been cool. And sometimes you used to feel homesick. So I had one of my father's dhoti in my locker. So I used to pick it up and hold it close to me, smell it. So, and I used to feel pacified. This is a perverted reflection of Uddipan, I am telling. But if that same dhoti, if someone else picks up, he smells it, he might smell only detergent. Right? For me, I might also be smelling the detergent only, but I am smelling my father. Because there is a sthayi bhav that is there. Right? And this is acting as an uddipan. So, uddipan and alambana put together forms what is called vibhav. So, sthayi bhav and vibhav we have understood, right? So, next comes anubhav. Anubhav means the internal making of the devotee. There must be some internal making of the devotee. Certain qualities. Like mana shunyata, kshantir, avyarta kalatvam, mana shunya, tolerance, humility, avyarta kalatvam, never wanting to waste time. So these are all internal qualities of the devotees. But there is an element of premeditation there in these qualities. You know, you understand premeditation, right? Premeditation means avyarta kalatvam. Naturally, he does not want to waste time. But how to spend time, he thinks about it. Oh, this time I'll use it this way, this time I'll use it this way, this time I'll use it this way, like that. And that is an element of premeditation. Then the sattvika bhavas are involuntary bodily emotions, involuntary bodily transformations, hair standing on end. There is no premeditation there. Tears flowing from the eyes. There is no premeditation there. If it is premeditated, it is sahajiya. So these are not premeditated. They automatically happen. Involuntary actions. They are called sattvika bhav. And finally, sanchari bhav. Sanchari bhavs are transient emotions. So transient emotions means, like say for example, sometimes on the day of Damodar Leela, so, the last few days, many gopis came and complained to Mother Yashoda. Wow, your son is stealing at our place. He is stealing butter. He is stealing curd. He is creating lot of disturbance and all that. So, Mother Yashoda is fed up. She said, today, I will identify the best cows who have been fed the Padmagandha grass. I will milk them personally, boil the milk, cool it down, make it into curd, then personally churn it and make butter. And when Krishna eats it, he will never ever get the desire to go anywhere else. When he eats this butter, he will lose the desire to eat any other butter. So generally, Mother Yashoda is involved in other activities. She doesn't personally milk the cow. She doesn't boil it and things like that, except when it is personally for Nanda Maharaj or Krishna. So today she suspends all the other servant maids. She says, you take care of other duties, but Krishna's personal needs I will only take care. And she thinks, what do these other Vrajavasi gopis know? They don't know how to please Krishna. Only I know how to please Krishna. What do they know? Like that she gets this feeling of pride. But that pride is not born out of Rajogun. That pride is born out of her genuine love for Krishna. And it's not like she is constantly proud. Then none of the Vrajavasi gopis would be attached to Mother Yashoda. Neither would Krishna be attached. So that pride is not a constant emotion. It's a transient emotion. It comes, enhances the rasa and leaves. That's it. Similarly, sometimes after Krishna breaks the pot, she becomes angry on Krishna. She gets this desire to chastise Krishna. That's also a sanchari bhav. That's not sthayi. If the sanchari becomes sthayi, then Krishna will run away. Krishna will not stay. No, if the parents want to constantly keep chastising the child will lose any kind of affection for the parents. So, the desire to chastise the child, and Krishna Jagadagur says, sometimes the desire to even beat the child, that is a sanchari bhav. It's a vatsalya poshak. It comes, enhances and leaves. Okay. So, these are transient emotions. So, that is about sthayi bhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav and sanchari bhav. All of them together constitute what is called rasa. Right. So, here that's what he is telling, that poking these great devotees like Shiva, Narada, Lord Kapila, etc. They know the most secret anubhavas of Krishna. Even though they know the anubhavas of Krishna, but they do not know the intentions of Krishna. What exactly does he want to do? What are his plans? That they cannot understand. That's what he is indicating. It's a very elaborate explanation by Vishnu Jagadaguru. We will not touch it because we are running out of time. Later, if you want, you can read it yourself. If you have any doubts, you can discuss. Let's move ahead. But it's a very beautiful purport. Okay, let's go through it. Shiva and others know particular actions of Krishna. Those actions he chooses to reveal to them, anubhavam, but not his intentions, his real form or his real powers. Okay. So, certain details which he chooses to reveal, they can understand. Certain others, they cannot. The knower of the rasa shastras knows first of all anubhavas and sattvika bhavas. Paralysis, perspiration, hair standing on end, these are all sattvika bhavas. Involuntary bodily transformations. Whereas anubhavas are natural qualities, but little there is an element of premeditation. It's not involuntary as much as sattvika bhavas are. By that he can understand the sthayi bhav. So by the anubhavas and sattvika bhavas, he can understand the sthayi bhav. Like for example, if their hair stand on end, reading the childhood pastimes of Krishna, then they can immediately understand. Like when Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he heard Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam, you know, pastimes of Krishna with Putana, immediately his sattvika bhavas could be seen by Gadadhar Pandit because he is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. He has natural vatsalya towards Krishna. So by seeing the sthayi bhava and anubhavas, one can understand, anubhavas and sattvika bhavas, one sthayi bhava can be understood. Clear, na? Is it clear? By the particular qualities, you didn't attend NOD, right? That's why it will be little difficult for you to understand, but you can discuss with others. By the particular qualities and intensities of the anubhavas, he can understand the particular qualities and intensity of the sthayi bhava. How intense is the sattvika bhava and the anubhavas? The internal qualities and the involuntary bodily transformations, from that he can understand how strongly is his sthayi bhava established. The knower of rasa shastra knows the anubhava of Krishna being tied by a rope by the gopis like Yashoda, and the dependent anubhava of Krishna being the charioteer of Arjuna, Yudhishthir and Ugrasen. These are the anubhavas of Krishna indicating his dependence on others. How Krishna is dependent on others. So Krishna also has anubhavas. Just like the devotee has mana shunyata, ashadanda, samutkanta, tolerance, not wasting time, desire to chant Krishna's name. Krishna also has his inherent qualities. Bhritya vashyata, bhakta vatsalyata, right? Being completely coming under the control of the devotee, being dependent on the devotee, being affectionate for the devotee. These are the anubhavas of Krishna, right? The knower of rasa then infers that there exists something special in these cases which controls and melts the heart of even the Supreme Lord, the controller of all, the supremely independent entity. So, Krishna is completely independent, but why is he acting so dependent on this particular person? So, he must have some qualities that is controlling Krishna also. That object which melts the heart of the Vishaya and Ashraya. Who is Vishaya? Who is Ashraya? Devotee. That object which melts the hearts of the Vishaya and Ashraya, which has many varieties and which brings both parties under the control of each other, is called prema. It is the crest jewel of all goals for the human being and is described by the terms such as bhakti, sneha and anuraga. Like that. Seeing that Krishna is controlled more when he sees his devotees who generate prema in him, the knower of rasa infers that there is intense prema in the siddha and sadhaka devotees. Siddha devotees are the nitya siddhas. And sadhakas are those who are trying to achieve that stage. He then concludes that Krishna is the cause of difficulties for the devotees in order to increase their devotion to that level. So basically, very systematically, Vishnu Jagadaguru is explaining how these people can understand Krishna's hand. See the last sentence. One sees an increase in prema in Draupadi and others when their difficulties increase. From that they can understand hand of Krishna. From that they can understand not the hand of Krishna, and they can understand the position of the devotee also. He is put in difficulty, his prema has increased. So he sees, oh, this is Krishna orchestrating. And from, that is from Krishna's side. On the devotee's side he sees, oh, I can understand how elevated he is. Elevated this devotee is. When put in difficulty, see how his prema is increasing. Oh, seems like a very elevated devotee. Like that. Yasyam anugrinami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi tato adhanam tijantyasya svajana dukkha dukkitam. This is Krishna himself revealing his plan. How he deals with his devotee. If I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. So that he can come closer to me. Thus, the difficulties the devotees experience are not prarabdha karmas, since they are given by the Lord alone who wants to benefit the devotees. However, this is not an inclusive rule. Sometimes the Lord increases his devotee's bhakti without giving problems to him. It's not compulsory. Aapko problems nahi aaya na abhi tak. To matlab Bhagawan ka kripa ka patr hue hi nahi aap. Aisa nahi, not like that. Thus it is said that no one knows the plan of the Lord. Does Krishna want to bring me closer to him by giving me problems? Or does Krishna want to bring me closer by giving me happiness? No one can tell. But when it comes, then from the response of the devotees, those who are knowledgeable in the Rasa Shastra, they can understand both the hand of Krishna and the advance, how advanced that devotee is. When he sees that when this, under such a situation, the devotee's prema is increasing. So he knows, oh, this is Krishna's hand. But what exactly is Krishna's plan? what is the next situation in which Krishna is going to put that devotee, that they don't know. But seeing the response of the devotee, they can see both Krishna's hands and they can see from the sattvika bhavas and anubhavas, they can see the sthayi bhava of the devotee, and from the intensity of that sattvika bhava and anubhavas, they can understand the intensity of the sthayi bhava of the devotee. Little elevated topic. So my understanding is also little so very much superficial, but more or less sort of, because this is addressed in this verse by Bhishma Dev and Vishnu Jagadakur talks about it, so I thought it's, because anyway we are not going to study the later chapters of Enodi together. So at least this basic, very basic knowledge, I thought, you know, we could just touch upon this topic. Okay, so that's what other foolish people who do not know the Anubhavas, like Krishna allowing himself to be tied up, they explain it as some sort of fake display. So Krishna also has his Anubhavas. How yesterday we discussed how sometimes in Vrindavan, you know, his Aishwarya Shakti is always subservient to his Satyasankalpa Shakti or his Madhurya. And sometimes his Satyasankalpa Shakti becomes subservient to his Kripa Shakti. So there is this hierarchy. Krishna also has his Anubhavas. One who does not know it, they will say, oh, this is, if it is true that this is Anantakoti Brahmanda Nayak, then how can he be really bound by Mother Yashoda? He is just faking. That's it. So that person does not know the Anubhavas of Krishna. Like that.
Anubhavas of Krishna means?
His, the qualities which make Krishna. The qualities of Krishna.
He has to think on that. He also thinks on that.
Yeah, it's little, yeah. It's little premeditated.
So like Krishna allowing himself to be tied up, so that way it says that Krishna did not want to tie himself up, but his Kripa Shakti took over.
His Kripa Shakti took over does not mean, in one sense, he allowed his Kripa Shakti to take over. But then he may say, oh, then it becomes his Sankalpa then. Like that. That does not mean like it is. So you cannot, there is some element of Sankalpa there, so it cannot be exactly understood that way. He did not, which means, does it mean that he did not want to go out and steal butter along with his friends? No, he did want to. But at the same time, he felt very much disturbed seeing the fatigue of his mother. So, there was not a conscious thought of Krishna wanting to help his mother. But when he started feeling disturbed seeing Mother Yashoda's, even before it transformed into a conscious thought, his Satyasankalpa Shakti surrendered to Kripa Shakti. And immediately, you know, that tight. Of course, these are like elevated topics. We cannot have such a critical analysis of that. I have not studied it also in detail, so I cannot comment on it so much. When they see? When put under distress, or when even put under some favorable condition also, seeing their response, then they can see, oh, the hand of the Lord, they can see the nature of the devotee and everything they can see. No, not in that sense. When put under distress, seeing Draupadi's response, how her prema towards the Supreme Lord increased. See, we are not trying to evaluate why Bhishma Dev did not speak anything. That's a whole different story. We are not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, seeing a particular devotee. Yet Draupadi's response, we can understand that, oh, Krishna is orchestrating this whole thing. That much he can see. Why Bhishma Dev did not respond to come to help Draupadi? I think there is a probably some commentators, Vaishnava commentators on Mahabharata, they have written extensively on that. I don't know about that. Could be, but how, I do not know. If some Vaishnavacharyas have commented on it that way, maybe. If not, I do not know. Okay, let's move ahead. Yam manyase matuleyam priyam mitram suhrittamam akaroh sachivam dutam saurudadata saratim. You think of Krishna, yam manyase matuleyam, as your cousin, maternal cousin. Priyam mitram, as a dear friend. Suhrittamam, your selfless helper. Saurudadakaroh sachivam, out of affection made him your counselor, messenger and charioteer. That person, out of your affection, you did like that, but who is he? This verse shows Krishna's anubhavas, or actions performed out of deep love. Otherwise, if you just consider the tattva, he is the controller, he is the boss, everyone has to work for him. But Krishna's internal substance is these anubhavas. When it comes to devotees, though Krishna is the supreme lord, he displays actions indicating that he is under your control by being your counselor and messenger. So therefore, basically Bhishma Dev is telling, see, by seeing your anubhavas and Krishna's anubhavas, I can clearly see Krishna is orchestrating it. Okay, but then you do not ask me what Krishna is going to do next. If you are able to see Krishna's orchestration, then you will say that, oh, then tell me what Krishna is going to do next. That I don't know. But I can clearly see Krishna's orchestration, because when put under distress, you all have become closer to Krishna. Your prema has increased to the extent that Kunti Maharani is praying that Vipada Samtuta Shashvat Tatta Tattar Jagat Guru. Give us more miseries. So therefore, seeing these anubhavas and sattvika bhavas of the devotees, I can see Krishna's orchestrating this whole thing. That I can see. But what he is going to do next, what he is going to put you through next, that I cannot tell. But one thing I can tell you is, whatever he puts you through, it will bring you closer to him. It will increase your affection for him. That much I can tell for sure. That's what he is indicating here. Though this person whom you are thinking as your messenger and friend and what not, he is the one who is doing all these things. He is the one who is controlling everything. You understand? Like that Bhishma Dev is indicating. Prabhupada writes, to think of Krishna as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. Avajananti mam moda manushim tanumashritam. Only out of costless mercy he performs all kinds of service. But that does not mean that he has exchanged his position as Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that he has allowed someone else to take over as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. So then Bhishma Dev says, Sarvatmana samadrisho yadya vasyana hankratehe tatkratam mati vaishambyam niravadyasya na kvachit. Tatkratam, his actions, na kvachit mati vaishambyam. Just because he is acting as your messenger and servant and charioteer, one should not think that he has had an amnesia. He just forgot that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, his actions of being a servant of his own devotee is not performed out of a lack of judgment from his side. It is his anubhava. That is what is his internal makeup. One who knows the Rasa Shastras understands this. That's what he says. Na kvachit mati vaishamyam. None of these acts are performed due to a mistake of his judgment. Niravadhyasya. He is faultless when he acts as your charioteer. Sarvatmanah. He is still the super soul acting as the upadrashta and anumanta of everyone. Samadrisha. He still sees all as equal. Advayasya. He is still nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. He is the one who is providing for everyone, even though here he seems like helplessly being controlled by his devotee, but still he is the one. That position is not challenged. Anahankratehe, and he is without pride. So therefore he says, basically Vishnachakra Thakura explains this whole thing in the sense of, come on Yudhishthir Maharaj, you know the Rasa Shastra. See it in terms of Krishna's anubhavas. See it in terms of your brothers and your wife and your mother's anubhavas. See how when put under distress, your all prema increased. How could it happen if Krishna was not orchestrating this whole thing? I am able to see it. Now you see. You learn to see. So basically, Bhishma Dev is trying to explain based on these elements of rasa to explain to Yudhishthir Maharaj that you should understand tasmad ivam idam daivatantram vyavasya bharatarishabha. Understand that Krishna is orchestrating this whole thing. You should be happy that Krishna's desire is being fulfilled. And you are getting an opportunity to act as an instrument to fulfill Krishna's desire. So, Shri Krishna Jagadagur says, becoming a messenger or charioteer because of being controlled by bhakti, one may say, is a degradation of his position. If he is like that, how can the Lord's prema give him real happiness? This verse answers, Krishna is without fault and possesses faultless prema. Niravadhyasya. His actions, like being a messenger, Muktakesh Prabhu, after this, his actions like being a messenger are not a deviation of his mind, because he is at all times the possessor of great powers which accomplish everything automatically. He is the soul of everyone, Sarvatmana, even of Arjuna, since he acts as his charioteer and also fights in the chariot. So he is the one sitting inside of Arjuna and inspiring him to fight also. So basically he is telling, just because he is acting in all these positions, don't think that he has abdicated his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has abdicated his position as the Paramatma. He has abdicated his position as Bhagavan. So therefore, certain things have to be understood on the platform of Tattva, and certain things have to be understood on the platform of Rasa. Because he is the soul of everyone, there is no one except him. Advayasya. He is the soul of everyone, which means everyone is a part of him. Right? Everyone is his energy only. Right? Because there is no one else, he has no pride. Anahankritehe. Moreover, even a person without great powers, being filled with prema, does not consider his suffering caused by sinful acts that he alone has performed to be suffering because of his prema. Even a person at the stage of prema does not consider his suffering as suffering only. Thus, the Lord, who is full of all powers and is bliss personified, can have no suffering from his actions of prema. We may say that a person sitting on the chariot is enjoying, whereas the charioteer is suffering. Right? Being kicked by the person sitting. So, Krishna Jagadagu says, a person who is a jivatma, but having prema, even he does not consider his suffering as suffering because of his prema. So, how can Krishna, who is also under prema, consider these positions which are seemingly inferior? How can he have a suffering because of taking a seemingly inferior position? So, basically, in essence, he says, if you understand the Rasa Shastra, you will be able to see the hands of God. That's what is the argument of Bhishmadev to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Like that. So, therefore, basically, he is glorifying the Pandavas. My dear Pandavas, I am able to see your Anubhavas. I am able to see your Sattvika Bhavas. And he knows their Sthayi Bhava also. So, therefore, I can clearly see the hands of Krishna orchestrating this whole thing. Okay? So, therefore, you should not be lamenting. And Krishna's will is being executed. A devotee should celebrate. So, therefore, you should not be lamenting. Then, in the next verse, he says, Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu pasya bhopanukampitam yanme asom tyajata sakshat krishna darshanam agatah. O king, tatapi pasya krishna anukampitam. Tatapi means, what is the meaning of tatapi? Tell me. Still, despite. So, why is Bhishmadev using the word tatapi here? Read the translation, think about it and tell me. Why is Bhishmadev using the word tatapi here? Time up. Okay, whatever you think, you can answer. Tatapi means despite. Okay, what is your yes? You are 99% close. Who else raised their hand? He says that, you Pandavas are directly acting under Krishna's order, but I am not so fortunate. But still, when I am dying, Krishna has come. That is Krishna's benevolence upon me. So, he is telling, seeing your Anubhavas and your Sattvika Bhavas, I can understand how deep is your prema. I don't have so much prema for Krishna. Despite that, tadapi, ekanta bhakteshu, but he still does calls himself as an ekanta bhakta, pure devotee. He can call himself, that's not a problem. Because he is not depending on anyone else. Tadapi ekanta bhakteshu, but still to his dedicated devotee, even though I may not be as dedicated as you Pandavas, Pashya Krishna Anukampitam, see his mercy. Yadme Sakshat Darshanam Agata, he has come directly to give me his darshan. Asum Tyajata, just when I am going to give up my body. See Krishna's mercy. I am not as elevated as you Pandavas, but still Krishna's mercy is that he has come to give me his darshan when I am just going to give up my body. So Shloshna Jagadakur says, Tatapi here means that though it is not possible for me to be like you, still see his mercy to me, by which that form of Brahman which is filled with bliss has come near such a low person like me. So he is showing his anubhavas. Which anubhava is he showing? Manashunyata. See, this is another of his anubhavas, for it is actually to show mercy to you that he comes to me. So Bhishma Dev is telling, this is actually to show his mercy to you, Pandavas, that he has come to see me. That's how Bhishma Dev is seeing. So he is telling that my getting mercy of Krishna is incidental. But the real purpose of Krishna bringing you all here is to show mercy to you, Yudhishthira Maharaj. To you, Pandavas. That is Bhishma Dev. Absolute. You know, he doesn't consider himself as a very elevated devotee at all. Neither does Yudhishthira Maharaj consider. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Krishna is equal to all, but still he is more inclined to his Ekanta Bhaktas who are completely surrendered. The Jiva is made by the will of the Lord that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. But trying to be falsely independent is the cause of fall down. Arjuna had some bodily connection with Krishna, but Bhishma Dev had none. But still Krishna visited Bhishma Dev at deathbed. Why? Because Bhishma Dev was an Ekanta Bhakta. Krishna was attracted on the platform of the soul. But still, since bodily relation is very natural and pleasing, the Lord is more pleased when addressed as Nandanandan, Yashoda Nandan, and so on. So, therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are two kinds of names. Names which are primary names and secondary names. So, primary names are those names in which Krishna is addressed in his own terms, the way he likes to be addressed, which means in conjunction with his pure devotees. Nandanandan, Yashodanandan, Yashomati Nandana Brajavara Nagara Gokula Ranjanakana. These are all his primary names. Gopiparanadana Madana Manohara Kaliyadamana Vidana. These are the ways in which Krishna likes to be addressed. Even though it has no kana, what does it indicate? It has no meaning also. Brajavara Nagara. What is the meaning of Brajavara Nagara? Nagara means what? One who is roaming around without any purpose. He is addressed as Vrajahara, the best amongst those who roam around Vraja without any purpose. Basically it means loafing around. Right? But still Krishna likes to be addressed because it's in conjunction with Vraja. Secondary names are those names which are in relation to this material world, which he actually deputes it to others. Vishwakarta, Shrishtikarta, the Purushavatara, and things like that. They are all secondary names, which are names given to Krishna. But these are not his primary activities. These are secondary names like that. So therefore, but still, since bodily relation is very natural and pleasing, the Lord is more pleased when addressed as Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, etc. Therefore, Bhishma Dev addresses Krishna as Vijaya Sakhe, Partha Sakhe in his prayers. That's how he will address Krishna. The best way to establish relationship with Krishna is through the transparent via media of his devotees and not directly. So the best way to establish a relationship with Krishna is to address him in conjunction, in relationship with his devotees. Okay. Bhaktya Vesya Mano Yasmin Vacha Yannama Kirtayan Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyate Kama Karma Bihi. So Bhishma Dev says, the yogi whose mind is absorbed in Krishna, yasmin manaha bhaktya aveshya, is absorbed in devotion in Krishna, vacha yan nama kirtayan, whose voice chants his name, muchyate kama karmibihi, he becomes freed from all karmas, tejan kalevaram, on giving up his body. So he is telling that Krishna is assisting me to accomplish this. By coming personally, because I am not capable of absorbing my mind in Krishna and he is not standing in front of me. This is Bhishma Dev's humility here. So therefore, in order to assist me, because I need assistance to remember Krishna, Krishna has mercifully come to give me his darshan. So then he says, Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshatam Kalevaram Yavadidam Hinomyaham Prasannahasa Arunalo Chanollasat Mukambu Jodhyana Patas Chaturbujaha. He says, Sa Bhagavan, may that Lord Krishna, Deva Deva, the Lord of all Lords, Ullasat Mukambujaha, who has a glowing lotus face, Arunalochana, reddish eyes like lotus, Prasanna has an pleasing smile, Chaturbhujaha, having four arms, Dhyana Pataha, the object of my meditation, Pratikshatam, may that Lord remain in front of me while I drink his beauty and praise him. Yavat Kalevaram Idam Hinomyaham, Krishna, can you please wait for a while I praise you, drink your beauty and give up my life? Dhyana Pataha, please, Dhyana Pataha means please be the object of my vision. Please be in my line of sight. So that while drinking your beauty and praising you, I will give up my body. Please wait for some more time. Like that he is pleading to Krishna. May he remain here until I, after some time, after drinking the sweetness of his beauty with my eyes, after I praise him and reveal what is in my mind, after that I will give up my body. Just give me 5 minutes. I will take your darshan, praise you and give up my body. May he with four arms, Chaturbhujaha, he says, who should at all times be the object of my meditation, since he is my object of worship, with his pleasing form and smile, remain directly in front of my eyes at the time of my passing from the body. Be Bhishma addresses him as a form with four arms because that was the form of Krishna mentioned in the mantra he used during meditation. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport here. So Prabhupada says, Bhishma Dev knew that Krishna is the source of Narayan also. But his desired form was the four-handed form Narayan. Therefore, he desired that Krishna manifest that form. Then Prabhupada writes about Bhishma Dev's humility. Even though Bhishma Dev was confirmed to enter the spiritual world after his death, still he desired to see Krishna's face as he might not get to see it again. He thought, what do I know? Where I will be in my next life? What form I will get? So, before leaving, I want to see the form of Krishna, like that. Therefore, a pure devotee is not puffed up, even though he is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. This is the interesting. This is the, those who are vimukta manina, they are proud. Whereas those who are absolutely guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead, they are in utter humility. This is the Virodhabhas. Interesting. Bhishma Dev had Ichchamrityu and he was confirmed to go to Vaikuntha. Still he desired to concentrate on Krishna's form before death. Why? Prabhupada says, because Bhishma Dev was concerned only about sanctifying his mind by the darshan. He was not concerned about his destination. Wherever I go, I don't care. I want to purify my mind. Therefore, the lesson that Prabhupada gives is that a pure devotee is never anxious to go back home, back to Godhead. He depends entirely on the goodwill of the Lord. He is equally satisfied with whether he is in hell or in Vaikuntha. Swarga, apavarga, narakeshu api tulyartha darshina. His only desire is to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, nothing else. Like that. So the Goswami continues. This is a beautiful section. These are first canto chapters are like very, you know, they really give you a bird's eye view, you know, of what is awaiting us throughout Bhagavatam. Just like, you know, you go to a restaurant. I don't know if you ever had the experience. You know, they give you some starters or appetizers to whet your appetite. Like that. Suta Uvacha. Yudhishthirastadakarnya shayanam sharapanjare apritchat vividhan dharman rishinam chana shrinvatam. Yudhishthir, hearing what he had said, then asked Bhishma lying on a bed of arrows about various dharmas while the sages were listening. Yudhishthir, anxious about who would free him from the delusion, began to ask Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows. Even though one should not ask questions when Bhishma is in such a situation, because he had no other alternative, therefore he asked. And of course it was orchestrated by the Supreme Lord also. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Why did Krishna inspire Yudhishthira Maharaj to ask such questions to Bhishma Dev? Prabhupada gives three reasons. First is to prove that Bhishma Dev, even though externally a worldly man, was far superior to others, including Vyasadev. Second, Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotee is always sound in his body and mind by dint of his spiritual enlightenment, and thus he is perfect to speak in any circumstances. Okay. So, Prabhupada's life is an example. Till his last stages, how he was dictating the Bhaktivedanta purports. You read the 10th canto purports, such clarity. You wouldn't believe that these are the words of a person who is just going to leave his body. Till such elaborate purports. Usko padke padke tak jata hai aadmi. You know, you really, you know, you see page after page after page of purports. He's leaving. He might have as well rushed, right? He could have completed few more chapters. At least he could have aimed for completing the Vraja pastimes, Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. No hurry. Elaborate purports, even on his deathbed. Such clarity of thoughts. Unbelievable. No one who reads that would believe that these are the words of a person who is on his deathbed. That's why, you know, many of Prabhupada's disciples compare him to his passing away to the passing away of Bhishma Dev. So this is the second reason. Krishna wanted to prove that a pure devotee is always sound in his body and mind by the dint of his spiritual enlightenment, and thus is perfect to speak in any circumstances. Like the father lives to see his... And the third reason that Prabhupada gives is that, like the father lives to see his son become more famous, the Lord wanted to establish that worship of his devotee is more valuable than worshipping himself. Mat bhaktya puja abhyadika. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto. So for these three reasons, Krishna inspired Yudhishthir Maharaj to go ahead and ask Bhishma Dev these questions, even though it was not appropriate. Purusha swabhava vihitan yata varnam yata shramam vairagya rago padibhyam amnato bhaya lakshanan. He described dharma suitable for men according to their natures, according to varna and ashrama, which are qualities of renunciation and enjoyment, described according to a person's detachment or attachment. Ubhaya lakshanan. So various kinds of dharmas he asked about. Dana dharman, raja dharman, moksha dharman, vibhagashah, stri dharman, bhagavad dharman, samasa vyasa yogatah. Within varnashram, he described duties of charity, duties of the king, duties for attaining liberation, duties of women, and bhakti yoga in brief and in detail. Samasa Vyasa Yogata. These are all discussed in detail in Mahabharata, you know, all of that. Dharmartha Kama Mokshamscha Sahopayanyata Mune Nanakhyane Tihaseshu Varnayamasa Tatvavit. O Shaunaka, Bhishma, who is the knower of truth, accurately described Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha along with their methods using various stories and histories as proof. All of this while lying on his deathbed. Dharmam pravadatastasya sakala pratyupastitah yo yoginaschanda mrityor vanchitastu uttarayanah. The time of Uttarayan, which was desired by Bhishma, who had finished speaking on dharma and could die when he chose, then arrived. At that point of time, Uttarayan arrived. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, perfect mystics can leave the body at will as described in Bhagavad Gita. They do not need a material vehicle, but this is impossible for the materialists even if they travel at millions of miles per hour. Not possible. We will take a 5-minute break. and then we'll continue further. Okay. Fourth stone. A Vaidurya stone, when looked from one angle, it gives red color from another angle, blue color from another angle, yellow color. Okay. So, different acharyas, when they are looking at the same Vaidurya stone from different angles, so they are getting different viewpoints of the same stone, which is real. They are watching it. They are not imagining a Vaidurya stone. They are looking at the Vaidurya stone. They are participants of the Leela. They have Leela Spurti. So therefore, someone may say that, oh, different acharyas give different viewpoints, as if they are giving their opinions. The acharyas are not giving their opinions. Commentaries are not opinions of the acharyas. The commentaries are acharyas' vision of the pastime. Sometimes from a different viewpoint, from a different vantage point. So, therefore they are sometimes different. So, but they are right. We should not think that, oh, this is how Prabhupada writes, this is how Vishnu Chakravarti writes, which seems more right. Oh, that's dangerous. Both are right. Just that he has a different vantage point, Vishnu Chakravarti. Prabhupada has a different vantage point. But both of them are looking at the pastimes and writing. They are not writing their opinions. That's something we have to be very sure of to start with. That's the preliminary qualification to read the commentaries. So when you want to read the commentaries, we have to have full faith that these are devotees who have access to the pastime. They are not writing their opinions about the pastime. Like that. Okay. So, let's move ahead and see how Bhishma Dev is preparing himself to offer the prayers. Okay.
Tadopasamhritya gira गिरसहस्रनीर विमुक्त संगम मन आदि पुरुषे कृष्णेल सत्ती तपते चतुर्भुजे पुरस्तिते मीलित द्रव्य धारयत.
एनीवन हैज कंटिल कंटिल यू नो व्हाट इज कंटिल ओय ओय एनीवन हैज नो वन स्ट्रेप्सिल्स यू हैव ओके यू कैन गिव मी वन. Tada, at that point of time, okay, so he says, Upasamhritya Giraha. Withdrawing his words from other objects, because you are speaking about dana dharman, moksha dharman, and so many other things. At that point of time, when the right time came, when he wanted to give up his body, so he immediately withdrew his words from all the other subject matters. Amilita drig, with wide open eyes, sahasranihi. Sahasranihi means Bhishma, who was the leader of 1000 chariots. Manaha vyadarayat, he concentrated his mind. Vimukta sangam, which was not attached to anything of this world. Krishne, upon Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Adi Purushe, the original person. Lasat pita pate, pata means dhoti. Pita pata, lasat pita pata means pita pata, means dazzling yellow dhoti. Chaturbhuje, again the word chaturbhuje is used, four arms. Purastite, who was standing right in front of him. Let's move ahead. Vishuddhaya dharanaya hatashadas padikshayeva shugata yutashrama nivritta sarvendriya vritti vibhramas tushtava janyam visrijat janardhanam. Hata ashubha, as Bhishma, who was free of all inauspiciousness, Vishuddhaya dharanaya, by his pure concentration on Krishna, Gata Yudashrama, he was completely free of any physical fatigue from fighting and from lying down on the bed of arrows. Ashu Nivritta Sarva Indriya Vritti Vibhrama, very quickly became free of the wandering of the senses. Indriya Vritti Vibhrama. Vibhrama means Vivida Brahma. Mind and senses are capable of wandering in different directions. Vivida Brahman. Nivritta, it all stopped and everything, his eyes were drinking the beauty of the Lord, and all his senses were individually drinking the Supreme Lord, the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Tat ikshaya eva, all his wanderings could stop just by his glance, by the glance of Krishna's mercy. Everything stopped. Janayam Visarja, he left his body. Kama. Tushtava Dhanardhanam. While he left his body, or just before leaving his body, he started praising the Lord. Okay. So he would praise and then give up his body. Okay.
So,
okay. So now we are going to start the prayers of Bhishma Dev. Quickly. It's not there. I didn't know where to fit it. It seemed more appropriate for me to put Ashu there. So I put it there. Okay. But good. Good observation. Oh, Ashitosh. Oh, that's right. Ah, I know. That's why you got it. In your house, they call you Ashu. Sometimes, someone. Okay. So now, Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev's prayers are special prayers. You know why? Unique prayers. In the whole of Bhagavatam, only Bhishma Dev's prayers are in third person. When the Lord is directly standing in front of him, Bhishma Dev offers his prayers in third person. To offer prayers in second person is to say, "Oh my Lord, I wish to surrender myself to you. I wish that you please stay in front of my eyes." And all that. That is second. Offering prayers in second person. But all of Bhishma Dev's prayers are in third person. Third person means, may that Supreme Personality of Godhead be the object of my vision. As if he is talking about another person. He is talking about this Krishna only, who is standing right in front of him. Looking at him, he is telling Krishna, "Krishna, may that person be the object of my vision," as if it's a different person. You understand, na? Because for him, the object of his meditation is Partha Sarathi. That Krishna who is sold out to Arjuna. That is his object of worship. But here was Krishna, and that mood was not so vivid. That mood was not so much coming up. It was not shown by Krishna. Even though he was still very much sold out to Arjuna, but it was not so clear through his actions at this point of time. But Bhishma Dev wants to remember Krishna's love for Arjuna and give up his body, because that is his object of meditation. How Krishna loved Arjuna. That's the only thing he wants to meditate upon while giving up his body. Therefore, he offers prayers in third person. Very unique set of prayers. All prayers. All of his prayers are in third person. Interesting. No prayers of Bhagavatam is like that. Only one set of prayers. Bhishma Dev's prayers. Unique. So Bhishma Dev says,
Itimati rupakalpita vitrishna bhagavati satvata pungave vibhumni swasukamu bhagate kvachit vihartum prakritimupe yushi yadbhava pravahah.
So he says, iti matir upakalpita vitrishna. Thus, at the end of my life, that is the meaning of iti. Matir means my thoughts. Here it means the thoughts. Upakalpita, I am presenting to you. Vitrishna, without any hankering to this material world. With no material thoughts. Iti mati rupakalpita vitrishna. Unto whom? Bhagavati, Bhagavan, the possessor of all six opulences. Which Bhagavan? Lord Narayan? No. Satvata pungave. Pungave means the best amongst the satvatas, the best of the yadus. Krishna. Vibhumni, he is superior to even Narayan. Vibhumni, he is the source of everyone. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vikram. Parameshwara, he is the one from whom all the other incarnations emanate. Swasukam Upagate, he is absorbed in his abode. Enjoying bliss with his associates. Goloka eva nivasati. But as a pastime, vihartum, vihar, as in Vrindavan vihari. But sometimes vihartum as a pastime. Kvachit, sometimes. Prakriti mupayushi, he accepts maya. For, in the form of Purushavatara. Yad bhava pravahah. Which produces this material world. And what is the pastime? The pastime is producing this material world. Okay. I will go through the translation once more. Carefully listen. Because you have to recollect the verse. Iti. Thus, at the end of my life, Matir Upakalpita, I am presenting my thoughts to you, Krishna. With Krishna. It is not contaminated by any material affection. And who? You are offering it to whom? Bhagavati, Bhagavan. You mean Narayan? No. Satvata Pungave. The best amongst the Yadus, Krishna. Who is he? Vibhumni. He is the source of all Narayan. What does he do? Swasukam Upagate. He is enjoying with his associates in his abode. But kvachit, but sometimes vihartum, for performing a particular kind of leela, prakriti mupayushi, he accepts maya by his glance. So what kind of leela he performs? Yad bhava pravaha, the leela by which the material world is created, maintained and destroyed. Is it clear? Satvatas means yadus. We saw na? We saw. I was in Darwad. I forget where I spoke what. Because just I came from Darwad only, na? So it seemed like I spoke yesterday only or few days back. But well, actually few days back only I spoke in Darwad also. So in one of Shukadeva Goswami's prayers, Shriya Patir, Yagya Patir, Prajapatir, Dhyam Patir, Loka Patir, Dhara Patir, Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam, Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. So Satvatas means Yadus. Okay, like that. So we will see. You see the translation, we will see the purport by Vishnachalaya Thakur, then we will come back to the verse again. Okay. At the end of my life, iti, my thoughts are offered to the Lord. Since my master has come to me at the time of my passing away under the influence of his mercy, I must give him a gift. Bhishmadev is thinking, he has come all the way to meet me. Atithi Seva, I must give him some gift. What should I gift him? Bhishmadeva was thinking. There is nothing suitable in this abode of possessiveness and ego. There is nothing that is free of Trishna. There is only one thing that I have which is free of Trishna. That is my thoughts. So therefore, iti, at the time of my death, matirupa kalpita, let me offer my thoughts which are free of any tinge of material ego or attraction to this material world. Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna. First line. Clear, na? But in this world, we see people who give also desire to take. When they give something, they want something in return. But he says, no, my thoughts are not like that. My thoughts are without desire, with Krishna, without any Krishna to take anything back. I offer them to Bhagavan, Bhagavati, who is full of six wondrous qualities. But Bhagavan means Narayan, right? He says, no, I am talking about that person who is famous as the best of the Yadus, Satvata Pungave. Iti mati rupakalpita vitrishna. Bhagavati, Satvata Pungave, then. But Narayan is greatly famous as Bhagavan for all time. But Narayan only is famous as Bhagavan. So he says, there is no greatness superior to the greatness of Krishna, Vibhumni. He is the source of Narayan. Okay. Iti Mati Rupakalpita, Vitrishna, Bhagavati, Satvata Pungave, Vibhumni. He attained profusely upagate. He attained profusely the highest bliss through his own parshadas. Swa from his own devotees, Yadus and Pandavas, sukam, bliss, upagate, profusely attained great bliss from his own people. Swa, sukam, upagate. Okay. The main qualities of the Lord has thus been described. These are the main pastimes of the Lord. Next, the secondary qualities are described. What are the secondary qualities? Kochit, sometimes, vihartum, for performing pastimes, prakriti upayushi, he comes in touch with maya. And what kind of pastime he performs? Yad bhava pravaha. He creates this material world, maintains it and destroys it, like that. This is in a secondary form as Purushavatara. Is it clear? Okay. So now, try to recollect the verse. words, just the words, but in order. All of you together. Not by mistake, purposefully only. I didn't want you to see. Just recollect. Tell me. Iti. Iti means? At the time of death. Mati means? Thoughts. Upakalpita means? I am offering you. But then, okay, let me, we will have a dialogue here. So at the time of death, you want to offer your thoughts. But in this material world, everyone wants something in return. With Krishna. No, I don't want anything in return, Bhishmadev says. Then, whom are you offering it to? Bhagavati. You mean Narayan? Satvata Pungave. Who is Satvata Punga? Pungave. The best of. But isn't Lord Narayan famous as the Bhagavan, the possessor of all six opulence? Rumni. Meaning? He is even the source of that Narayan. Oh, okay. So what does he do? This Satvata Pungava, what does he do? Swasukam upagate. He enjoys pastimes with his own people, the Yadus and Pandavas. Okay, what else does he do? Kvachit, sometimes. Vihartum. He performs pastimes. What kind of pastimes? Prakriti Mupayushi. He comes in touch with Maya and does what kind of pastimes? Yad Bhava Pravaha. To which creates the material world. Okay. Let's chant three times. Iti Mati Rupa Kalpita Vitrishna Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumni Swasukamupagate Kvachit Vihartum Prakritimope Yushi Yadbhava Pravaha Iti Mati Rupa Kalpita Vitrishna Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumni Swasukamupagate Kvachit Vihartum Prakritimope Yushi Yadbhava Pravaha Iti Mati Rupa Kalpita Vitrishna Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumni Swasukam upagate kvachit vihartam prakritim upeyushi yad bhava pravaha. Upagate means he attained it profusely. What? Sukam. From whom? Swa. From his own people. Swa sukam upagate, like that. First line, who wants to recollect? Second line. Satvata Pungave. Third line. Vihartum. Fourth line. Yes. Upayushi. Okay. First two lines, who wants to try? Vikas Prabhu. Rakesh Prabhu. Next two lines. Prakritim upeyushi Okay. Full verse, who wants to try? Haribol! Who else wants to try? Try, we will help you. Yes. Arival. Okay. So, but Muktakesh Prabhu, you didn't tell anything today. Huh? Okay, try. I'm very sharp in that. Not by mistake. Okay, you didn't disappoint. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Bhishma Dev was a great person with multiple responsibilities. Multiple roles and responsibilities. Therefore, his mind was strewn over different things. Therefore, in order to attain pure devotional service, he wanted to invest his mind on Krishna. He was thinking like that out of humility. But his mind was thinking only about Krishna. Then, unless one is purified of all material desires, the Lord does not become their leader. What is Prabhupada talking about? Sattvata Pungava. For such a devotee, the Lord gives instructions on gaining, going back home, back to God. As in Tesham Satata Yuktanam. But for others, the Lord only acts as Paramatma, Upadrashta Anumanta. But he doesn't guide him to go back home, back to God. Such is the difference in dealings of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada gives an analogy. He says this is just like the king ruling both his prisoners and citizens. He doesn't deal with them the same way. He is concerned about both, but the dealings are different. Okay? Like that. Then Prabhupada says that Krishna desires association of pure devotees. Therefore, to take their association, the Lord descends. That's how Prabhupada explains, Kvachit vihartam prakritim upayushi. Sometimes the pure devotees are there and in the material world also. Sometimes to take their association, Krishna comes. But when he descends, it is out of his own free will. He is not forced to descend by prakriti. Therefore, he is called Vibhu. Like that. So, Bhishma Dev has now decided to offer his thoughts. So, he has nicely packed it. He has offered it. Krishna is now going to open the gift and see what is there inside. What is there inside that gift wrapper? Okay. So, that's the rest of the verses. What are the various things that Bhishma Dev has offered to Krishna? Nay, now he is going to tell what are there in my thoughts. So, Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam Ravikara Gauravaram Daram Dadani Vapuralaka Kula Vritana Nabjam Vijaya Sake Ratirastume Navadya. anavadya ratir astume. May I have pure prema. Anavadya. Anavadya means without any impurity. Anavadya ratir astume. For Krishna. He doesn't say to you. He says to Krishna. Which Krishna? Vijaya Sakhe. That friend of Arjuna. That Krishna who is the friend of Arjuna. May I have rati for him? Third person. Again. And who is that Krishna? Tribhuvana Kamanam Vapuhu. He possesses a body which is desired by inhabitants of all the three worlds. Tribhuvana. Three. Bhuvana Kamanam. Which means desirable. Which is desirable to the residents of all the three worlds. Ravikara Gaurava Rambaram Dadani. Ravi is sun. Kara is rays. Gauravara Ambaram. His clothes are the color of the shining sun rays. Tamala Varnam. And what is his own color? His own color is the Tamal color. Alaka Kula Avrata Ananabjam. And whose lotus feet is, face is surrounded by locks of hair. Okay. Alaka is hair. Alaka Kula is locks of hair. Avrata is covered. Anana is face. Abjam, it's like a lotus face. Abjam is lotus. Ananabjam, Avritam, Alaka Kula. Sometimes, you can see Vrindavan Viharyar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Sometimes, you know, the hair comes and covers a part of the face. Like that. So, as soon as Krishna opens that gift wrapper, this is what he sees. He sees that Parthasarathi Krishna. And with Vijaya Sakha, who is the friend of Arjuna, who possesses a body which is desired by inhabitants of the three worlds, clothed in intense yellow garments shining in the sun, and whose complexion is dark like the tamal tree, and whose lotus face is surrounded by locks of hair. So, he says that, iti mati rupakalpita, let me offer my thoughts. So, Krishna says, okay, let me see what do you have in your thoughts. Opens the wrapper. So he says, that desire is there. Rati rastume, anavadya rati. Please give me that pure prema. Without desire for any results. Prema for whom? To Vijaya Sakha. To that friend of Arjuna. This is a special prema. It gives him so much joy thinking how much love Krishna has for Arjuna. Very special. That is Bhishma Dev's ecstasy. That is why prema is Shri Krishna Akarshini. It attracts both Krishna and his associates. Arjuna had that prema. So it attracted Bhishma Dev also so much to Arjuna. That his only bliss was seeing how Krishna is reciprocating with the love of Arjuna. He is reciprocating with his own love also. Bhishma Dev's love also is reciprocating. But still, his bliss is in thinking how he is reciprocating with Arjuna's love. Who accepts a body which is desired by all persons in the upper, middle and lower planets? What is... Which part of the verse is he talking about? Tribhuvana Kamanam Vapuhu. Okay. Which is clothed in garments golden in the sun rays. Ravikara Gaura Vara Ambaram Dadani. Dadani means he is wearing. I saw that intense yellow from his upper and lower cloth sparkling in the sun's rays as he stood on the chariot of Arjuna. In the battlefield. Not right now. My thoughts take the form of a prayer to have this prema for the most beautiful Krishna as the charioteer of Arjuna. in the prayers of following verses also, there is no use of the second person. It's all in third person. Even though Krishna was present before him, Bhishmadeva was offering the prayers in third person. May I have Rati for that person? As if he is speaking about a different person here. This indicates his attraction for the sweetness of the Lord absorbed in Viryaras during the battle and his absorption in relishing it. So, Viryaras was his secondary rasa. What was his primary rasa? Dasya. Dasya was his primary rasa. Virya was the compatible rasa. So therefore, his meditation was of Krishna in the battlefield. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada writes about Vijaya Sakhe. He says, Bhishmadev is in Viryaras. That's why he is addressing Krishna as Vijaya Sakhe. The Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees. So, therefore, in this verse and also in other verse, Krishna is addressed in third person, even though he is present directly before Bhishmadev. This indicates Bhishmadev relishing Krishna's sweetness in Viryaras as in the battlefield. Okay? So, like that. So, you can just go over the translation for a moment and then we'll continue.
Rajo vidhum ravishvak kachalulita shramavari alankratasye mama nishita sharair vibhityamana twachi vilasat kavache astu krishna atma. You have heard this tune? This tune is common tune. So he says, Krishna astu atma. Here atma means mind. May my mind concentrate on Krishna. Which Krishna? He says, alankritasye. So now that he has told that Krishna is the charioteer and he is wearing yellow dress and his face is covered by locks of hair. As soon as he speaks about his face, Bhishmadev now zooms into his face and he is giving some more details of that face. He says, may my mind concentrate on Krishna, alankrita asya. Asyam means his face. Alankrita is decorated. What is decorating his face? Vishwakacha, his wavy hair. Yudhi turaga rajo vidhumra. It has become grey in color due to the dust which was raised by the hoofs of the horses on the battlefield. Yudhi turaga rajo vidumra vishwakacha. Vishwakacha is wavy hair. Lilita. It was not very properly, kangi laga ke ekdam. Aisa nahi. It's like tossed here and there. Lulita. And he could see some pearls which were decorating his forehead. They were pearls of sweat. Shrama Vari. Vari means water. Shrama means endeavor. So that water which is born out of endeavor is called Shrama Vari. Is sweat, indicating how much he was exerting himself to protect Arjuna. So that looking at those parts of sweat gave him so much ecstasy. Because that sweat indicates Krishna's love for Arjuna. Twachi vilasat kavache. And your armor was shining brightly with some dents here and there. Where did the dent come from? Mama nishita sharair vibhityamana. Because it was slightly pierced by my sharp arrows. So, much. Very much. And we are going to read about it. Acharyas go in depth. See, that is why you know, what acts as Uddipan and Anubhavas and Sattvika Bhavas, understanding of this is important to appreciate rasas, spiritual relationships. And both Prabhupada and Vishnu Jagadakur give a glimpse into this Virya Rasa through their purports and commentaries. We will read them. Very, very instructive. So, having spoken of Krishna's face surrounded by locks of hair, Bhishma cannot give up that sweetness. Again, he describes more details about his face. The face is decorated with hair thrown all about because of the speed of the chariot and colored with the dust raised by the horses. So, generally, if the hair is covered with dust, it looks very odd. But it was beautiful in this case of Krishna. Because he was seeing, one understanding is, he was seeing the beauty, because Krishna is always beautiful. That is one understanding. Another is, he was seeing the beauty of Krishna's love for Arjuna in that. Therefore, he could see beautiful. Sometimes it is said that, Prabhupada also says, that a woman is most beautiful when she is pregnant. You have heard this? Prabhupada some writes in his purports that a woman is most beautiful when she is pregnant. But it's contrary to perception, isn't it? When the stomach is swollen and it doesn't look very beautiful at all, right? But that woman is meant to be seen and admired by whom? The husband only. She is not the object of appreciation for anyone else. Isn't it? That woman is actually seems more beautiful to the husband because she is holding his child. So, beauty is not just skin deep. In one sense, it is skin deep, but beauty or relationship is made of much more than just physique, isn't it? So, when she is holding his child, so that woman, that chaste woman is seen by the righteous husband as being very beautiful. You understand, right? So, the same way, because Bhishma Dev was in Viryaras, when he saw that hair was strewn all away, all over with grayish, layer of dust and with perspiration, an ordinary man doesn't look very beautiful in that way. But because of his rasa, that was the most attractive form for Bhishma Dev. So only one who is in Viryaras can appreciate it. Just like only one who is an husband can appreciate a pregnant woman's beauty. Even if she is not pregnant, only a husband is supposed to appreciate whether she is pregnant or not. But the point is that it defies pratyaksha, isn't it? That is why it is said beauty is in the eyes of the beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. It does not lie only in the eyes. Emotions. So perception of beauty is connected not just to vision, it is connected to emotions also. So the emotions of Bhishma Dev are the emotions in Viryaras. Therefore, what constitutes beauty for Bhishma Dev, what acts as Uddipan for Bhishma Dev would be different for someone who is in some other rasa, isn't it? Like that. The face is decorated with perspiration arising from effort. This indicates Krishna's efforts because of his affection for Arjuna. Krishna's skin was pierced by Bhishma's sharp arrows. Just this is the analogy given by both Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Just as the man involved in love derives happiness from the bite marks of a bold lover, Krishna, the most courageous warrior in the mood of fighting, derived pleasure from my strength in the form of wounds from my arrows. One should not think that I, even overcome by the mood of fighting with Krishna, was ever devoid of prema. Even though I really aimed at Krishna and shot my arrows with all my power, one should not think that I was devoid of prema. Because I knew that the harder I fight, the more pleasure Krishna will derive from it. Similarly, the woman who inflicts deep wounds upon her beloved, dearer than a million of her lives, with her nails and teeth during the battle of love, cannot be said to be devoid of love for him. Just like as in the case of conjugal love, sometimes certain activities, the same act if someone else does, or if a dog goes and bites, or if another man tries to hurt him by biting his hands or something like that, this person will go to the police station and file an FIR. Right? Krishna's skin was not really pierced because he was wearing an armor which shone brightly. It means that the arrows slightly pierced the armor. It didn't pierce it so much that it hurt the skin. Like that. Okay? So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the Lord's body is spiritual. Therefore, it cannot be harmed by the arrows. But Krishna and other incarnations come in the form of humans just to bewilder the demons. Therefore, when Krishna is pierced by the arrows, Duryodhana might get bewildered, but not Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev's appreciation of Krishna is for two reasons. First, he did not leave his devotee Arjuna even though he was pierced by his arrows. See, every arrow that he pierced Krishna with, and when he saw that Krishna was not leaving the battlefield, his appreciation for Krishna, for his love for Arjuna, increased more and more. Second, he was not reluctant to come before his deathbed, even though he was an enemy in the battlefield. Even though the maximum trouble for Arjuna and Krishna was given by Bhishma Dev. They are not Karna. It was not Duryodhan. It was not Dushasan. They were all effortlessly taken care of by Bhima. Maximum trouble was given by Bhishma Dev, who was a dear devotee of Krishna. But Bhishma Dev's appreciation for Krishna was for two reasons. To see how much Krishna was committed to protecting Arjuna. Second, even though I acted as Krishna's enemy on the battlefield, still he has come to see me at my deathbed. For these two reasons, Bhishma Dev was very much affected within his heart. Battle wounds, Prabhupada writes, battle wounds are just like love bites, and they are not to be taken seriously because of the inherent dasyaras. Such wounds can only bewilder common man, because everything in the material world is mundane. Therefore, it is full of inebrieties. But in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual. Therefore, there are no inebrieties. Therefore, a wound is also enjoyment in Viryaras. Just like the bite marks of a lover are enjoyment for the beloved in the same way. Like the Prabhupada also gives the same example. Then, he continues, Sapadi Sakivacho Nisham Yamadye
నిజపరయోర్బలయోరతం నివేశ్య స్థితవతి పరసైనికాయురక్షణ కృతవతి పార్థ సఖే రతిర్ మమస్తు. సో హి సేస్ పార్థ సఖే రతిర్ మమ అస్తు, అగైన్ ఇన్ థర్డ్ పర్సన్, మే ఐ హావ్ రతి ఫర్ దట్ ఫ్రెండ్ ఆఫ్ అర్జున పార్థ సఖ. నిజ పరయోర్ బలయో మధ్య రథం నివేశ్య, హూ అట్ సమ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్, నిజ వన్స్ ఓన్ పరయోర్ ది ఆపోనెంట్, బలయో మధ్య బిట్వీన్ దర్ ఆర్మీస్ రథం నివేశ్య హీ బ్రాట్ ద చారియట్. వెన్ సేనయోర్ ఉభయోర్ మధ్య రథం స్థాపయమే అర్జున అచ్యుత హీ సేస్ యావదేతాన్ నిరీక్షేహం యొద్దు కావాన్ అవస్థితాన్. అర్జున సేస్ ఐ వాంట్ టు సీ హూ ఆర్ హూ ఆల్ హావ్ అసెంబ్డ్ హియర్ టు ఫైట్ విత్ మీ, హూ ఆర్ ఆన్ మై సైడ్ అండ్ హూ ఆర్ ఆన్ మై ఆపోనెంట్ సైడ్, ఐ వాంట్ టు సీ. సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ భీష్మదేవ్ ఇస్ రికలెక్టింగ్ దట్ పాస్ టైమ్. నిజ పరయోర్ బలయో మధ్య రథం నివేశ్య వై డిడ్ హీ బ్రింగ్ ద చారియట్, సఖి వచో నిశమ్య ఆఫ్టర్ హియరింగ్ ది ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ of his friend. Senayor ubayor madhye ratam sthapayami Achyuta. Oh Achyuta, take the chariot between the two armies. Okay, so he takes. Sthitavati, and while just standing there, Akshna, just by his glance, parasainik ayohu hritavati. He took away parasainik ayohu. Ayohu means life. It seems like he killed them by their glance. But here it means hrutavati ayuhu. Ayuhu means here prarabdha karmas, which means he took away all their karmas and gave them liberation. That's what it means. So he is recollecting that pastime, how by the just when Arjuna ordered, you so faithfully followed that order. So much you are surrendered to the wish of your devotees. So much you are controlled by the desires of your devotees. That gave him so much bliss. So he was meditating on that. And he immediately followed Arjuna's order. Senayor ubayor madhye ratam sthapayame achyuta. Yavadetan nirikshayam yoddu kaman avasthitan. Just by his glance showing to Arjuna, oh, this is Bhishma. This is Drona. This is Karna. Just glancing at them and showing them to Arjuna, he took away their lives. This actually indicates that he took away their prarabdha karma. Since it will be later said, Niriksha yam iham niriksha hata gata swarupam. In one of the later verses, 39th verse, he would say that. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. Like that. Okay, let's continue. Empty. That's why it's making so much sound. Kali kar diya na. వ్యవహితృతనాముఖం నిరీక్ష స్వజన వదాద్విముఖస్య దోషబుద్ధ్య కుమతిమహరత్ ఆత్మవిద్యయాయ చరణరతిర్ పరమస్య తస్య మే అస్తు. ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ సీనియర్ ఉభయోర్ మధ్య వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్ అర్జున వాస్ బివిల్డర్డ్ అండ్ దెన్ Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. That's what he is recollecting. Tasya paramasya charana ratir me astu. May I have prema for the feet of that Supreme Lord. Of that Supreme Lord. Not this Supreme Lord. Who is standing in front of me. What did he do? What did that Supreme Lord do? Atma vidya vidyaya yaha. He gave atma vidya. And కుమతిం అహరత్ అండ్ ఈ డిస్ట్రాయ్డ్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ బ్యాడ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ కుమతి
ignorance. He destroyed the ignorance. Whose ignorance did he destroy? Duryodhana's ignorance or Dhritarashtra's ignorance? Whose ignorance? Vyavahita Pritana Mukam Niriksha. He destroyed the ignorance of Arjuna, who, seeing the opponent's army, Vimukasya, he became reluctant. He became reluctant to do what? To kill his own relatives. Swajana Vadad Vimukasya. He became reluctant to kill his own Swajana. Why he became reluctant? Dosha Buddhya. Because he thought it was a sin to kill them out of ignorance, which was created by Krishna only, so that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. So he is recollecting how Krishna put Arjuna into bewilderment and how he resolved that bewilderment by speaking Bhagavad Gita. So he is recollecting, gratefully recollecting that pastime which happened on the battlefield. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, yesterday's or the previous kings were not covered like today's politicians. They fought face to face on the battlefield. It's not like they sat in their room and they were just giving instructions. Also, the battle took place at such a place that there was no possibility of innocent people to get affected. So those kind of battles did not affect the innocent citizens. They had nothing to do with the war. All they had to do was to pay 1/4 of their income as tax, irrespective of whether Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled or Duryodhana ruled. They had nothing to do. All they had to do was pay taxes. That's all. Whether it was Duryodhana or whether it was Yudhishthira Maharaj. Arjuna, being a Nityasiddha devotee, his polluted intelligence was induced by Krishna so that Bhagavad Gita can come out. So that's the explanation. Okay. Swanigamam apahayamat pratigyam ritamadikartam avapluto ratastaha dhritarata charano vyayachalagur haririvahantam ibam gatottariyaha. Swanigamam apahaya, giving up his own promise, that he had promised that he would not pick up the weapon. Mat pratigyam ritamadikartum, just to make my promise true. Duryodhana had come and he criticized Bhishmadev that you are not fighting. I am not able to understand whose side you are fighting. Are you fighting with the Pandavas or Kauravas? You seem like you are too partial to the Pandavas. You are not fighting your true potential. So, like that he was criticizing. So, he says that, okay, you see here Arjuna, you see here Duryodhana, with these 5 arrows, I am going to kill the Pandavas tomorrow. So Duryodhana says, really? Let me have those 5 arrows. I will give it to them to you tomorrow. Because what if you, out of your affection, you keep those 5 arrows in your room only and then come to the battlefield? I will come and give them to you on the battlefield. You give them to me. He had no faith in Bhishmadev. So he took those arrows. So Krishna came to know about it. So he took Arjuna. After the day's battle was over, he went to Duryodhana's place and Duryodhana received them very nicely and they said, oh, okay, what can I do for you, Arjuna? Tell, you have come all the way to meet me. Do you want me to give up the battle? We will stop it right here. You can take a share of the kingdom or whatever you want. So Arjuna said, I don't want anything. Can you just give me those 5 arrows? So Duryodhana said, Okay, take it, no problem. So he gave it. So he went and told Bhishma that I have given it. He says, still don't worry, I'll still kill Arjuna tomorrow. Either I will kill Arjuna or I will make Krishna pick up a weapon. So Duryodhana knew that Krishna had promised not to pick up a weapon. So he thought, yes, definitely Arjuna will be killed. So that's what he thought. But he didn't know what Krishna is more committed to. Fulfilling his vow or to protect his devotee. So that's what he is thinking. Swanigamam apahaya mat pratigyam ritamadikartam. So which Bhishmadev knew. Okay. So Bhishmadev knew and he wanted to see it. And Bhishmadev fought in such a way that Arjuna was blown away. He couldn't do anything. He was going to die actually. So at that time, what did Krishna do? Ratastaha. He was still then sitting on the chariot. Avaplutaha. He jumped off the chariot. Dhrita Rata Charano. He took the wheel of the chariot. Abhyayat. And he ran towards Bhishma. Haririva Hantum Ibam. Just like a lion charging towards a giant elephant. Chalatguhu. And he was so much charged with anger towards Bhishma that the earth was shaking. Gata Uttariya. His Uttariya fell down. He didn't even notice. So, it is said that Krishna elevates his devotee to a higher position than his own. I saw this directly. How did he elevate his devotee more than himself? This is explained in two verses. Krishna made a promise that he would not take up weapons but would only assist Arjuna. And I made a promise that I would make him give up that promise and take up weapons. To make sure that this would become true, Krishna, situated on the chariot, quickly got down from the chariot in such a manner that no one could see his separation from the chariot. Okay. So, here the acharyas don't want to indicate that Krishna, actually no one saw him break his vow also. Like that also. You know, there is alternate explanation given. So, Vishnachakra Thakur says that he got down from the chariot, but no one saw him getting down from the chariot. In such a manner that no one could see his separation from the chariot. This is one understanding. Another, or Krishna, even though he got down, remained on the chariot to protect it in another form, which was invisible to others. So, therefore, he didn't break his vow. This pastime was spontaneously carried out and was not because of my request. He says, he spontaneously did it out of his spontaneous affection for Arjuna. So he says, to withhold my love is just my promise is just a superficial thing. The real reason is his spontaneous affection for Arjuna. That is the real reason why he got down from the chariot. He took the wheel of the chariot and ran towards me. The earth trembled because of his great strength exerted through running in excitement. He was excited to protect Arjuna, according to Bhishmadev. But according to Krishna, he was excited to protect Arjuna, and at the same time, he was excited to meet the challenge of Bhishmadev in Viryaras. His cloth fell down. Because of his excited running, he was not aware whether his cloth had fallen or not. Because Krishna cannot give up his quality of affection for his devotee. When Arjuna would be unable to fight, Krishna would give up his promise and use weapons to protect Arjuna. So he didn't want to see Krishna give up his promise. He wanted to see Krishna give up his promise being forced by his affection to Arjuna. He wanted to see what is the extent of Krishna's affection for his devotee, Arjuna. It is impossible for others to make Arjuna unable to fight. Only I am capable of doing it. Bhishma Dev knew. Thus overpowering Arjuna for a moment, I will see Krishna fight as an indication of his affection for his devotee. Which devotee? Arjuna. Bhishma made this promise that Krishna should take up weapons in order to fulfill this desire. Having seen Krishna's prema for Arjuna when he broke his own promise and satisfying Bhishma, Krishna's excellence became famous in the world. That is the meaning of this incident. So Bhishma Dev thinks, I will expose Krishna today. I will expose his affection to Arjuna. How much is his affection? That he can give up all mundane considerations, like even giving up his own promise to protect his devotee, like that. So as soon as he picked up the wheel and broke his promise, Bhishma Dev put his weapons down and he said, okay, Krishna, I am ready. You can come and attack me. Because he has shown to the whole world, what is Krishna made of? He is made of his love for Arjuna. That's all he wanted to show. He put his weapon down immediately. Like that. Okay, let's move ahead. Shita Vishikahato Vishir Natamsha Kshatada Pariplita Atata Inome Prasabam Abhisasara Madvadartam Sabhavatume Bhagavan Gatir Mukundaha. O Krishna, let my only goal be Mukunda. Saha Mukundaha Bhagavan. Saha Mukundaha Bhavatume Gatihi. May he be my destination. May he be my goal. Shita Vishika Hataha. Who afflicted by my sharp arrows, Vishirna Damsha, and his armor was broken, Kshataja Pariplutha, covered in blood, me Abhisasara, he rushed towards me, because Atatayinaha, I was his enemy, Prasabam, with great force he rushed towards me, Madvadartham, with a desire to kill me. When Krishna got down from the chariot, he became covered with blood because the earth was covered with rivers of blood from the slain warriors. If I had not read this, at least some of you would have raised your hands and said, Krishna's blood? Sapariyaga chukram akayam avranam asnaviram shuddham apapa viddham. Ishopanishad. It was covered with blood of the slain warriors. Okay. How did his arm, that's the first thing, before you open your mouth, Acharya's the first thing he write. It was not his blood. Hold on. It was not his blood. How did his armor get pierced? It was stuck by my sharp arrows. I fired the arrows to increase the thrill of his anger. In other words, he pierced the armor before Krishna got down from the chariot. With force, prasabam, he protected Arjuna and came towards me with the intention, today I will kill Bhishma with my own hands. What a fortune. The word Abhisasara is used to indicate a hero desiring to meet his lover. So the same word is used to indicate the intensity of a lover to meet his beloved. The same word is used here to indicate that one should not think Bhishma had ill intentions towards Krishna as an enemy. It was his viriyaras. That's why the word Abhisasara is used here. In a similar manner, I became extraordinarily happy when Krishna approached me in anger. This is viriyaras. May my goal be no one else, only Mukunda, the giver of liberation, who acted in this way. O Krishna, I have offered only this prayer to you. Again and again he asks the same thing. May he be my gati, may he be my object of affection, may he be my object of concentration, like that. Srila Prabhupada writes, this pastime might be seen, this pastime might seem like Krishna is partial to Arjuna and he wants to hurt Bhishma Dev. But this is not so. This was to show special favor to Bhishma Dev that he was approaching Krishna. This pastime shows that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy also. The Lord is absolute and hence can accept service from his devotee in the garb of an enemy also. But the Lord is Ajita and Asamordva, but he accepts lower position only out of love. Only pure devotees can understand such mysteries. Otherwise, others will think that, oh, Krishna has broken his vow, oh, Krishna is subservient to Arjuna, maybe Arjuna is greater than Krishna, like that. Okay, let's move ahead. Give me 5-10 minutes more before the Yamuna Arati starts. We all will leave. Only two more prayers left. Okay, these two prayers I will cover, and then rest few verses are there that we will cover tomorrow, and then complete the 12th chapter tomorrow. Okay.
Vijayarata kutumba atta totre dritahaya rashmini tachriye kshaniye bhagavati ratirastume mumurshor yamihaniri kshahata agata swarupam.
Mumurshoho, my dear Krishna, now that I have desired to give up my body, bhagavati ratirastume, may I have prema for the Lord. He already has. Only out of a mundane consideration we may think, you know, we discussed, right, using material logic to understand spiritual pastimes. Did we discuss about it? Using our pratyaksha based anuman to understand, we discussed, right? So this, one may say that bhagavati rati rastume, may I have prema for the Lord. So our material intelligence will say what? Maybe he didn't have it yet. Or maybe at the most, if he is asking for prema, maybe he was in the stage of bhava. So, you know. So this is a mundane, this is using our mundane logic, our pratyaksha based anuman to evaluate pastimes. It is inappropriate. So he says, no. Bhagavati Rati Vastume is spoken out of his humility. Vijaya Rata Kutumba, who protected Arjuna's chariot. Again and again he is coming back to the same thing. Because that is his appreciation. Atta Totre, I am able to imagine, Atta means he was holding. Totre is a whip that is used to, you know, whip the horses. Drita Hayarashmini. Dhrita, on his left hand he was holding, Haya Rashmini means the reins of the horses. Haya is horses, Rashmini is the ropes to control the horses. Tat Shriyekshani, he is telling, that is a sight to behold. Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. So the beholder is in Viryaras, he says, that is the sight to behold. Like that he says. Yamiha niriksha hatagata swarupam. Such a beautiful form that whoever died on the battlefield seeing this form, they attained liberation. Like that. So, okay. Bhishma does not say, I am dying. But he says, I want to die. Indicates his Ichchamrityu position. He could die when he chose, and now he had developed great greed for directly participating in Krishna's pastimes. From this it is understood that the fighting pastimes are also eternal. What to speak of other pastimes? Even fighting pastimes are eternal. Bhishma Dev is still fighting with Krishna somewhere and enjoying it really. From this it is understood that the fighting pastimes are also eternal. What to speak of other pastimes? Two, you have great attachment to my pastime as a charioteer and relish that in each of your verses. Spout them from your mouth. You pray for prema for me in that pastime. Krishna says, but having died, what is your proof that you will attain that pastime? What is the proof? Kuch guarantee hai ki after dying you will attain that pastime? Here he says, are yam iha niriksha hatagata swarupam. Those people who are, they don't have affection for you, some are even inimical towards you, they died and you would give them liberation just because they saw your form and died. But I have such affection for you, when I die, seeing this form of yours, meditating on this form, will I not get entry into your pastimes? I will. So you may say, oh, just now Bhishmadeva was so humble. These are all sanchari bhavas. Humility is his anubhav. But sometimes he may seem like becoming little proud or angry. These are all sanchari bhavas. They come and go. There is a well-known saying, marane yamati sagati. Whatever you think of when you die, you attain that. Seeing you at present is the highest proof. By seeing you, those who die, even being killed by others in this battle, even if they are demons, attain liberation, swarupam, of merging in Brahman, similar to the jnanis. But I am a devotee with thoughts I have just described to you through my prayers, and dying while seeing you personally at the time of death, how can I not attain that pastime? The form of Krishna as a charioteer being bestowed liberation even to unqualified demons, why would it not bestow liberation to me? Like that Bhishmadev is offering his prayer. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the samadhi of a yogi and that of a pure devotee are not on the same level. A yogi's attempt to attain samadhi by concentrating on the super soul is a mechanical process, and hence it is very tough. But a pure devotee's samadhi is impelled by his pure love and affection. Anything that is impelled by pure love and affection, you need not strain to concentrate. You have to strain to get that out of your head. Like the gopis were straining. They were doing some Ashtanga Yoga to forget Krishna. They were not like yogis who are performing Ashtanga Yoga to concentrate, really try hard to concentrate on the Lord. They were doing Ashtanga Yoga to forget Krishna. That is the power of trying to concentrate on someone due to affection. Lord's Leela as Partha Sarathi, just as any other Leela, they are all eternal. Therefore, all pastimes are like the hands of a clock, Prabhupada says. So, they are either at 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. You understand? Hands of a clock. They have moved on from 1. But they have reached to 2 now. Lord's pastimes are like hands of a clock. Hands of a clock. You are so much used to seeing the digital clock, I think. You forgot that there is, you know, hands of a clock, you know. No? 3 hands it has. So, they move, it has moved on from 1, only to appear in 2, then 3, then 1 to 12. Different universes, different places like that. They are either in one planet or other planet, but they are all eternal. Bhishmadev relished Krishna's pastimes as Partha Sarathi Leela more than Arjuna, as he was behind Krishna. Arjuna was behind Krishna. So he could not see Krishna's Partha Sarathi Leela. He could participate in it, but he could not see like that. Okay, last prayer. We will take this prayer tomorrow. So we are left with 40. and 9 more verses. We will not spend much time the rest of the chapter. Only 40th verse we will spend little time.